Chapter 50, The Pillars of Our Faith.
Written on the train en route to Lynn, Massachusetts, December 1890. Appeared in notebook leaflets, The Church, Number 4. During the past 50 years of my life, I have had precious opportunities to obtain an experience. I have had an experience in the first, second, and third angels' messages. The angels are represented as flying in the midst of heaven, proclaiming to the world a message of warning and having a direct bearing upon the people living in the last days of this earth's history. No one hears the voice of these angels, for they are a symbol to represent the people of God who are working in harmony with the universe of heaven. Men and women, enlightened by the Spirit of God and sanctified through the truth, proclaim the three messages in their order. I have acted a part in this solemn work, nearly all my Christian experiences interwoven with it. There are those now living who have an experience similar to my own. They have recognized the truth unfolding for this time. They have kept in step with the great leader, the captain of the Lord's host. In the proclamation of the messages, every specification of prophecy has been fulfilled. Those who were privileged to act a part in proclaiming these messages have gained an experience which is of the highest value to them. And now, when we are amid the perils of these last days, when voices will be heard on every side saying, "Here is Christ, here is truth," while the burden of many is to unsettle the foundation of our faith, which has led us from the churches and from the world to stand as a peculiar people in the world, like John, our testimony will be born. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 3. I testify the things which I have seen, the things which I have heard, the things which my hands have handled of the word of life, and this testimony I know to be of the Father and the Son. We have seen and do testify that the power of the Holy Ghost has accompanied the presentation of the truth, warning with pen and voice, and giving the messages in their order. To deny this work would be to deny the Holy Ghost, and would place us in that company who have departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Confidence assailed. The enemy will set everything in operation to uproot the confidence of the believers in the pillars of our faith, in the messages of the past, which have placed us upon the elevated platform of eternal truth, and which have established and given character to the work. The Lord God of Israel has led out his people, unfolding to them truth of heavenly origin. His voice has been heard and is still heard, saying, "Go forward from strength to strength, from grace to grace, from glory to glory." The work is strengthening and broadening, for the Lord God of Israel is the defense of his people. Those who have a hold of the truth theoretically, with their fingertips as it were, who have not brought its principles into the inner sanctuary of the soul, but have kept the vital truth in the outer court, will see nothing sacred in the past history of this people which has made them what they are and has established them as earnest, determined missionary workers in the world. The truth for this time is precious. But those whose hearts have not been broken by falling on the rock, Christ Jesus, will not see and understand what is truth. They will accept that which pleases their ideas and will begin to manufacture another foundation than that which is laid. They will flatter their own vanity and esteem, thinking that they are capable of removing the pillars of our faith and replacing them with pillars they have devised. This will continue to be as long as time shall last, Anyone who has been a close student of the Bible will see and understand the solemn promise of those who are living in the closing scenes of this earth's history. They will feel their own inefficiency and weakness, and will make it their first business to have not merely a form of godliness, but a vital connection with God. They will not dare to rest until Christ is formed within, the hope of glory. Self will die, pride will be expelled from the soul, and they will have the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Manuscript 28, 1890. No new organization. After the passing of the time, God entrusted to his faithful followers the precious principles of present truth. These principles were not given to those who had had no part in the giving of the first and second angels' messages. They were given to the workers who had had a part in the cause from the beginning. Those who pass through these experiences are to be as firm as a rock to the principles that have made us Seventh-day Adventists. They are to be workers together with God, binding up the testimony and sealing the law among his disciples. Those who took part in the establishment of our work upon a foundation of Bible truth, those who know the waymarks that have pointed out the right path, are to be regarded as workers of the highest value. They can speak from personal experience regarding the truths entrusted to them. These men are not to permit their faith to be changed to infidelity. They are not to permit the banner of the third angel to be taken from their hands. They are to hold the beginning of their confidence firm unto the end. The Lord has declared that the history of the past shall be rehearsed as we enter upon the closing work. Every truth that he has given for these last days is to be proclaimed to the world. Every pillar that he has established is to be strengthened. We cannot now step off the foundation that God has established. We cannot now enter into any new organization, for this would mean apostasy from the truth. Manuscript 129, 1905. No need for fear. There is no need to doubt, to be fearful that the work will not succeed. God is at the head of the work, and he will set everything in order. If matters need adjusting at the head of the work, God will attend to that and work to right every wrong. Let us have faith that God is going to carry the noble ship which bears the people of God safely into port. When I voyaged from Portland, Maine, to Boston many years ago, a storm came upon us, and the great waves dashed us to and fro. The chandeliers fell, and the trunks were rolled from side to side like balls. The passengers were frightened, and many were screaming, waiting in expectation of death. After a while, the pilot came on board. The captain stood near the pilot as he took the wheel, and expressed fear about the course in which the ship was directed. "Will you take the wheel?" asked the pilot. The captain was not ready to do that, for he knew that he lacked experience. Then some of the passengers grew uneasy and said they feared the pilot would dash them upon the rocks. "Will you take the wheel?" asked the pilot. But they knew that they could not manage the wheel. When you think that the work is in danger, pray, "Lord, stand at the wheel. Carry us through the perplexity. Bring us safely into port." Have we not reason to believe that the Lord will bring us through triumphantly? There are before me many who are old hands in the cause. I have known some of you for the last 30 years. Brethren, have we not seen crisis after crisis come upon the work, and has not the Lord carried us through and wrought for the glory of his name? Can you not believe in him? Can you not commit the cause to him? You cannot, with your finite minds, understand the working of all the providences of God. Let God take care of his own work. The Review and Herald, September 20, 1892. My hand is on the wheel. The coming of the Lord is nearer than when we first believed. What a wonderful thought it is that the great controversy is nearing its end. In the closing work, we shall meet with perils that we know not how to deal with. But let us not forget that the three great powers of heaven are working, that a divine hand is on the wheel, and that God will bring his purposes to pass. He will gather from the world a people who will serve him in righteousness. Fearful perils are before those who bear responsibilities in the Lord's work, perils the thought of which makes me tremble. But the word comes, "My hand is on the wheel, and in my providence I will carry out the divine plan." The Review and Herald, May 5, 1903. Judgments of God Abroad. Troublous times are before us. The judgments of God are abroad in the land. Calamities follow one another in rapid succession. Soon God is to rise out of his place to shake terribly the earth and to punish the inhabitants for their iniquity. Then he will stand up in behalf of his people and will give them his protecting care. He will throw his everlasting arms around them to shield them from all harm. The Review and Herald, April 14, 1904.